I'm preaching stewardship. And the first 2 weeks of the month, I talked about what is stewardship, first of all, and then about what it is that's God's. And what we found is that stewardship is taking care of somebody else's property. And we found that the property that's in the world is all God's. And that we've been given things to care for. And the fact is that everything that we have has been given to us by God, and that we're supposed to manage it for His benefit, not ours. Basics of stewardship. Let's take a look in Deuteronomy. And we're going to see that stewardship is also worship. We often forget this, but it is worship. And let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 12. And I'm really going to focus on 4 through 7, but I'm going to start with verse 1 and kind of read on both sides of it, this group here, because I want to give you a little bit of sense here. It says, "These are the decrees and the laws you must be careful to follow in the land that the Lord your God, your fathers has given you to possess, as long as you live in the land. Destroy completely all the places on the high mountains and on the hills and under every spreading tree where the nations you are dispossessing worshipped their gods. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and burn their Asherah poles in the fire. Cut down the idols of their gods and wipe out the names of those places. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way. But you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among your tribes to put His name there for His dwelling. To that place you must go. There, bring your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, and what you have vowed to give, and your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. There, in the presence of the Lord, give your God, you and your families shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you have put your hand to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. You are not to do as we do here today, everyone as he sees fit, since you have not yet reached the resting place and the inheritance the Lord your God has given you. But you will cross the Jordan and settle in the land the Lord your God has given you, an inheritance. And He will give you rest from all your enemies around you, so that you will live in safety. Then, to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for His name, there you are to bring everything I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, and all the choice possessions you have vowed to the Lord. And there rejoice before the Lord your God, you, your sons and daughters, your manservants and maidservants, and the Levites from your towns who have no allotments or inheritance of their own. Be careful not to sacrifice your burnt offerings anywhere you please. Offer them only at the place the Lord will choose in one of your tribes, and there observe everything I command you." Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning. We seek you. Lord, we want to know you more. We want to know what it is you would have us to do. Heavenly Father, we want to worship you today. May we worship you rightly. May we worship you in spirit and in truth. May we do so in a manner which brings honor and glory to your name. Father, I pray for your anointing to be upon me as I preach this morning, that you might use me to encourage and bless your people and to reveal more of yourself to them. Father, you let your name be lifted up and glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What we see here is that offerings are an integral part of worship. And they were told not to worship just as everyone pleases, or to worship in the way that those in the land that they're going to do, but to do it a specific way, according to God's dictates and His commands. What He said, He said, do this and do it My way. Don't do it however we all feel like, and don't do it the way that we see others doing it, but do it the way I tell you to do it. That's what God is telling the people here. He told them to go and remove those things that were places of worship as they came into the land. They weren't to leave that stuff there and say, oh, well, that's nice. It's kind of interesting because, you know, here I was in Hawaii, and one of the places we visit was a heiau, which is a Hawaiian temple. It's just a ruin. It's just outlines of stone up on a cliff. But we as a people, we've got little signs up talking about it and explaining about it. The thing is, there's people there who are still trying to resurrect that. We ran into a guy who thinks that, like, he's from back then or something. I don't know. He was a little off-center. Native Hawaiian who wanted the glory days back of, you know, making human sacrifice from the heiau. It's like, okay. But what God said to the people of Israel is, as they entered into lands, take these places and remove them. Don't leave them there. It's not because of what you might think. It's not because God is afraid of them. But it's because God doesn't want these places to infect us or to harm us in some way. See, these things are insidious. They start off as just a little bit here and then a little bit there, and the next thing you know, we're participating in a worship service that isn't to God, but instead to some little man-made thing. And we don't know how we got there. It's because we allowed these things a place. And God says, remove that place from your lives. Remove it from where you live. And then focus. Now, also here is He lists out a bunch of different ways to worship in sacrifice. We've got a list here. We've got burnt offerings, sacrifices, tithes, special gifts, vow gifts, free will offerings, firstborn of herds, choice possessions that have been vowed to the Lord. Again, burnt offerings. As we look at these, and we look elsewhere and we have the explanation of what these things are, what we find is that we have three different basic types of offerings listed here. Well, we have our sin offerings, required offerings, and free will offerings. Now, let me first deal with the sin offering. To do that, we're going to turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, or is it 12? It is 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 8 through 18. Here, He said, first He said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. And he said, "Here I am. I have come to do your will." He set aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest has offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sin and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin." This passage is telling us is that those sacrifices for sin are no longer required. That sacrifice has been given once for all. We no longer have to give the sacrifice to cleanse us because we're sinners. Because as we go through Scripture, it's very clear that the blood of animals doesn't clean us. It just kind of covers over for a short time. It was a temporary fix that the law had in place until the fulfillment came, which is Christ. So we no longer need to make sacrifice at the temple for the forgiveness of our sins. We no longer need to do that. That's been done. What we do need to do, though, we still need to worship through the giving of required sacrifices and free will sacrifices. Say, well, what are these, Pastor? We're going to cover that this week and next week. The required, we're going to cover next week. This week, we're doing free will offerings, free will sacrifices. What are they? What is it? Because it's clear that this is something we're supposed to do. We see in Deuteronomy, and this passage that I've read in Hebrews just talks about the forgiveness of sins, that the sin offering no longer needs to take place. So what are these other offerings? We have free will offerings. We have thanksgiving. We have offerings for vows. These are things that people did because God had moved in their heart, had given them something, a blessing of some sort, and they wanted to repay it, had put upon them a burden that they wanted to follow through on, and then they either gave a thanksgiving offering or they made a vow offering. Now remember how, what we need to remember is that the offerings were given to God as worship. And worship is giving worth to somebody. It's recognizing the divine nature of God and then turning to Him and giving Him that recognition. But it's also done privately and corporately. Some of this was corporate, where they would come together as a body and celebrate. And they were to enter into the place of worship, the house of the Lord, the temple, and they were to give their offering. And then that offering was usually some meat of some sort, an animal that was sacrificed, or money that was used then to buy meat and other food and drink, and then they would eat together. and they would basically have a party. It was a celebration. But it also was the means by which certain individuals, those who had lifetime service to God, received their everyday sustenance. That was part of that, came through those. Additionally, it was used to help those who were in need. This was where their benevolence, the overflow, came from. And when they had the party or whatnot, they weren't supposed to just invite just their friends, but it was supposed to kind of like be an open deal. It's kind of like going out to the park and setting up for a picnic, and somebody's walking by and saying, "Hey, come on, join us. Sit down and have a hamburger, have a sandwich, have a tube steak. Whatever. Have some potato salad. Join us." It's about sharing. Now, the vowed gifts. People would be moved because God had put a burden on their heart for something. Sometimes the parents would make a vow that kind of passed on to the child. We see this with John the Baptist. He was told that he would be a Nazarite. It's a long time David was a Nazarite. Didn't drink any wine, didn't cut his hair. That was part of the vow. That's what he gave. He gave something up. In this case, that of drinking of the fruit of the wine. Didn't cut the hair as a sign of the vow. But there were also certain foods that he didn't eat and things. Quite often, at the time of the vow, though, they would have another. They would come and they would give a gift. They would give a gift to God, saying, "God, help me to fulfill this vow." The giving of the gift isn't somehow buying off God. Saying, "Okay, if I give God a really good gift, He's going to give me what I need." No. The purpose of the gift is for us. We frail human beings who are kind of messed up to recognize you're the one from whom all I have comes from. I'm giving back to you in recognition of that, seeking more from you. Not necessarily what I'm giving you. I'm seeking guidance, direction, encouragement, empowerment, whatever it was that was needed for the fulfillment of that vow. There were those who wanted to support various things, and they gave a vow that, you know, when I die, I want this to go to support this. We do that today. We call these things wills. And we have people who will give to Crown College, to the church, to various philanthropic organizations for the purpose of doing good things. People do that. People did it then. They do it now. It's one of the things God wants us to do. These are free will gifts. An example of another type of free will gift is our giving to missions. We have Northbrook's mission. Last week, it was the third Sunday of the month. Was there an offering taken? We do that one corporately. We pass the plate. But nobody's required to give. We say, you know, if the Lord has moved on your heart, if the Lord has blessed you, if you want to support this mission, do so. It's not required. It's a free will offering. This type of thing was something which God has always wanted us to do. You see, we're not all the same. He doesn't ask us all to give to the same things or do the same things all the time. Now, there are some things that we are all required to do. Those will be under the required aspect. Free will? We're all required, if you would, to do free will. However, the free will is individualized. Some of us here feel real burden for Crown College. Some feel a big burden for Big Sandy Camp. Some for Outpost Ministries, Timber Bay Ministries, Thomas Services. These are all groups that we've supported. We have a group of our members here who support an organization called Rescuing the Future Foundation. And they give to that. It's a free will offerings. Because God has put the burden there. Another type of free will offering is God blessed you. Now you're just doing mind your own business and boom, God drops this big old blessing on you in some manner and you just want to thank Him. So you turn around and now and you give out of thanks. It's a thanksgiving offering. It's a free will offering. These are the free will offerings. These are things that we're supposed to do. If we look in Philippians, let's go to Philippians 4. Okay, Philippians 4. Verse 3 says, "Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." That's Paul asking for help for somebody. It's a free will offering. He's asking, help these people. It's not required. He's making a request. Paul thanks for some free will offerings he received from the Philippians. In verse 10, it says, "I greatly rejoice in the Lord that the last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." They gave. Jumping forward to verse 18. It said, "I have received full payment. And even more, I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God." This free will gift that they gave to support mission, the mission of Peter. I'm sorry, of Paul. Mission of Paul to those who didn't know the gospel. It was considered a fragrant offering, a sacrifice to God. These free will offerings. How much are you to give? When are you to give them? That's between you and God. That's why it's called a free will offering. Okay? We're each to do so. And the purpose of this and the giving of it is worship. Because we are giving worth to God. We are recognizing His divine nature and we're following through with what He wants us to do. What He wants us to do with the resources He has put in our control. And we say, God, I'm just so blessed by what You've done. And He says, show me. Show me that You feel blessed. Okay, I'm going to have a party for my friends. I'm going to go and I'm going to go help these people down here at this homeless shelter who don't have. I'm going to go spend Christmas with somebody who doesn't have family to be close to them. Whatever the free will offering is, be it of time, be it of money, be it of your spiritual giftings, be it of your valued possessions. It's looking to God and saying, God, what would You have me do here? And each and every one of us listening to Him and following through on it. And God says, you know, I want you to buy lunch for that person over there. Or I want you to give so much to the Great Commission Fund. Or I want you to go over and fix that flat tire for your neighbor. Or I want you to snowblow your elderly neighbor's driveway. What is it? It's a free will offering. We do it as worship to God. Giving Him worship, and it helps us because it keeps us focused on Him. We're to do it not to do as each of us sees fit, but doing it according to how God is directing us. It's not, what do I think is right? It's, God, what do You want me to do? And lest we think it's not important to do it the way God would have us to do so, let us go to probably one of the scariest stories in the Bible. Going, Pastor, there's a couple of those. Which one would you be talking about here? It's in the book of Acts. It has to do with couple people. First, we're going to look at a short story about a guy called Barnabas, and then we're going to look at a little story about two people called Ananias and Sapphira. Okay? Chapter 4 of Acts, starting with verse 32, and it reads, all the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. But they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So here it is. We see the church living that out. Free will offerings. Doing as the Lord was nudging each one. Doing what God told them to do. Then we see what happens when somebody, instead of doing what God told them to do, doing something so that they can get the accolade of man and look good, yet not quite, again, follow God's direction. Verse 1 of chapter 5 reads, "Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, 'Ananias, how is it that the Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God.' When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. And the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter asked her, 'Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?' 'Yes,' she said, 'that is the price.' Peter said to her, 'How could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also.' At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events." As I said, it is probably one of the scariest stories in Scripture. The problem wasn't that Ananias and Sapphira didn't give the whole amount. What they tried to do was claim, "This is everything," and hold back. But that wasn't what God had told them to do. That wasn't what God had directed. So even in the free will offering, we need to be obedient to God. Peter said, "Was it not your land?" It was. He could do as he wished. Point here is, don't lie to God. Don't try to make it out like, "Yeah, I'm giving to God. I'm giving everything I can while I'm taking and putting a bunch of it back in my pocket." Trying to look good before man. Remember, it's worship. It's about our interaction with God. It's our relationship with Him. Tear down those temples. Tear down those high places and get rid of those idols. Don't worship like the rest of the world does. Don't do as each person sees fit, but do it according to what God directs. He's very directive in some areas. In the free will offering areas, it is free will. It's between you and God. Give as He directs. If you don't, yes, there will be consequences. Maybe not on the score of Ananias and Sapphira, but trust me, the only one you have fooled is yourself. But if you give, out of the Lord's leading, what it is He tells you to give, as Paul says, it will be seen as a good and pleasing sacrifice, a fragrant offering to God. An act of worship. Let's pray. Father, help us to each one know Your will, what it is You would have us to give. Lord, make our hearts and minds tender to Your direction. Lord, might we hold on to the possessions You've given it to us lightly. Might we not be greedy, but instead, Lord, might we be more than willing to share and be a blessing as you direct. Father, we ask that you would show each and every one of us our free will offerings. Lord, show us where you would have us to give extra. Father, maybe it's because you've blessed us and we want to give back some. Maybe it's because you want us to dig deep and help somebody else. But Father, in each of those instances, we ask that you would show us, each one, where you would have us to give those free will offerings of our resources, of our time, of our talents, of our gifts. Lord, might we give freely as you have freely blessed us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.